and the Masail. And they used to, when they had something, they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would conduct majalis, and he would have sittings like we have durus. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have majlis. He would have a sitting. He would sit, and Sahaba would come, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach them. And sometimes he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would work one to one with some Sahaba. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that I learned directly from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I learned 70 surahs. So that this was one-to-one teaching that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do with Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And then there were halaqas, there were circles, there were sittings, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would encourage people to come and sit. Once there was such a session going on, and Sahaba were present, and three guys came. One of them, they stood at the back, trying to find space. One of them thought the place was packed, so he couldn't see any space. He just left. He thought it was too crowded, and there was no point sitting there, joining in. There was no space for him. The second one just sat at the back. He thought, okay, I'll try and whatever I can get. The third one made the effort. He checked around, is there any space nearer, closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And with a bit of struggle, he tried to move closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as close as was possible, and he tried to sit closer to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed this, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very sharp, very intelligent. You know, when we talk about IQ levels, when you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dealings and his interaction with people, you know for sure that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was above average. He was very, very intelligent, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his observation was way above ordinary people. So he would notice things that others would probably not even think about. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he appeared to be very busy doing what he was doing, but he was still alert to his immediate surroundings, and he was aware of what was going on. So he noticed what happened there. So when he finished with the halaqah, when he finished teaching what he was teaching, the masala, the issue that he was discussing, and the majlis was coming to an end, the end of the end of session, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commented on what he saw about in regards about these three people. He said, three individuals came. One of them, he shied away from Allah, so Allah azza wa jal turned away from him too. Because this was in reference to that person who thought there was no space. Okay, so what? If there's no space, then what's the point of me forcing upon the others? So he just chose to leave. The Prophet ﷺ said, he chose to leave, so when he walked away, Allah Azza wa Jal abandoned him too. So he got the way he treated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated him likewise. And then the second person, he ﷺ said that he had some shyness. He didn't have this assertiveness. So rather than making the effort, he just sat at the back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated him as such. He was put at the back. And the third person, he sought refuge with Allah azza wa jal. He made the effort. He sought refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal granted him refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him, embraced him. Allah azza wa jal took him. Allah azza wa jal accepted him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged Sahaba to make an effort and sit closer to him and benefit from him. And after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the learned Sahaba, they started doing the same. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his lifetime, he would encourage Sahaba, because there were, especially towards the end, there were hundreds of people who would visit him every day. So he wasn't able to give them individual attention. So he would say to them, go and learn Quran from this person. Go and learn Quran from this person. Go and learn Quran from this person. So he would mention many Sahaba by name. So we say that the scholars say that this was a certificate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was an acknowledgement on the part of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these people were trustworthy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted them ijazah and permission to teach. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum started teaching. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and number of other Sahaba.
Abu Darda radiallahu anhu later went on under the instructions of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu established a madrasa in Dimashq where once they counted and there were 1600 people, they were benefiting, they were learning in the classes of 10, and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was overseeing them all. 1600 people, so that's, and each, they were divided in circles of 10, so there were 160 circles in the Jami Dimashq that was overseen by Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and he was keeping an eye on everyone. So he would go around, what is it that's being taught, and he would check, and then people, if everyone who passed a certain level, certain stage, before he moved on to the next stage, he would be sent to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu would listen to his Quran, he would test him, and then he'd pass him and move him to the next stage. And it wasn't only Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, other Sahaba would go and they'd support him. You would see in the books of hadith that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, someone says, I went to the Jami of Dimashq and there I saw a man who was sitting, the other people were there, and when this man came, people came and they all gathered around him. And I said, who is this man? They said, this is a Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And people were there with him, and then when the halaqah ended and when I noticed that he was by himself, I went, I greeted him and I said salam to him and I asked him to teach me and give me something from what he remembered from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he taught me this hadith. So this was a custom during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the age of Sahaba, that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, on the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they started conducting these majalis. And from that point onwards, this kind of tradition took root. And from since then until today, we have halaqas and circles, and we have these get-togethers in masajid where people come and they learn the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the focus in these circles was on authenticity, making sure that everything is being transmitted in perfectly authentic manner. And they would make extra effort to ensure that there was credibility in the teacher. The teacher was credible. And to the teachers, credibility was more important than anything else. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, once he was traveling on a ship, he was sailing, and there he was traveling, and mashallah, he had some money with him. He was, mashallah, a healthy sum, some say about 1,000 dinars. So if you say 1,000 dinars, each dinar weighs about 4.25 grams. So if you say 4.25 times 1,000, how much is that? Mashallah, it's about more than 4 kg of gold. More than 4 kilograms of gold, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was carrying with him, or something that he had, or... And this person comes and he notices that there is a sheikh here, and he sits with him and he says, Sheikh, Ustaz, Hazrat, can I do some khidmat? Can I do something for you? And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he thought that maybe he was a genuine person who wanted to, who was very sympathetic and sincere. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh accepted, took him, and he would do small tasks for Imam rahimahullah. And then Imam sahab rahimahullah, he just happened to confide in him, say to him that, Alhamdulillah, I don't need anything. He may have offered something, or something else, said, I don't need anything. Alhamdulillah, I have plenty with me. I've got in this sack, I've got 1,000 dinars, 1,000 gold coins. That's, as I said, 4.25 kilo of gold. He says, right, you've got 1,000 dinars. So, what this crooked person does is that at night time when everyone is asleep, he got up and started crying. And this is a ship sailing in the water, in the ocean. And he started crying. And people said, what happened? And he started screaming and crying. He said, I was carrying a sack of 1,000 dinars and someone has stolen it. Someone's taken it away. Now the captain came, and everybody, he created a scene. Now the captain came and he thought, this man is crying his eyes out, and he's so depressed and so worried and vichara. He's lost 1,000 dinars. The captain said, out of sympathy, stop the ship, we are not moving until we find his money. Because whoever the thief is, he hasn't left the ship. So go and search the belongings of every single person on the ship. And don't leave anyone unattended, don't spare, don't show mercy to anyone go and find, doesn't matter who the man is, he said to his assistants and or the crew, go and check, investigate the luggage and belongings of everyone. Check every corner of the ship. The money should be here with someone, we'll find it. Now they started, they went and they checked the belongings of every single person. They didn't spare anyone, every corner, every inch they examined. And the return said, there is no such money, there's no 1,000 dinars. There's no sack of 1,000 dinars. And the captain said, looked at the man, he said, you don't seem like someone who has 1,000 dinars. Because I don't see anything on you that shows that level of richness on you. Why on earth did you create such a scene and cause the delay and created so much paranoia, so much pain? And he really told him off. And obviously, this guy was a crooked man. Now, the journey continued. A little while later, he comes to him to the Imam, rahimahullah, and he says, Imam, and in a very kind of cheeky and very kind of embarrassed voice, he says, what happened to that sack of 1,000 dinars? Imam Sahib, rahimahullah, said, I just put it in the water. I threw it in the ocean. 1,000 dinars? You put them in, you threw them away? He said, yes. The credibility that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon us values far more than those 1,000 dinars. The trust that people have in us values far more than those 1,000 dinars. They are worth nothing. The fact that people trust us and we are viewed as credible sources of transmitting hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a ni'mat far more valuable than anything else on earth. So this was the level of preserving of concern that these people had in terms of preserving and maintaining their credibility and their reliability and their trustworthiness. So they would stay thousands of miles away from ever being accused of anything. They would readily make to sacrifice whatever they had to, because to them credibility and was more important than anything else. And this was not only in one imam, across the spectrum, across the board. If anybody was accused of any misconduct, subhanallah, he lost his credibility. Great imams, even if there was a slanderous comment, some slander against them, it gets recorded in their history, and in their, you could say, their credit report. We talk about credit reports now in terms of hadith. The scholars, anyone who said qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wrote about his credit worthiness and his history and his lifespan and whatever he did, and everything about him would get noted and would get discussed and would get talked about. And then they'd say, does this fall under backbiting? And they say, no, this doesn't fall under backbiting. It is important and necessary to preserve the ahadith and the true teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, if we do not talk about these individuals and their lives, then people would say whatever they like about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody would know who's reliable and who isn't. So we have to do this. So authenticity was very important. And the ahadith, some of the ahadith, then they would categorize ahadith. One particular type of hadith is called hadith mutawatir. And then there's hadith sahih, that you normally hear hadith sahih, hadith za'if, hadith ghareeb, and they would say hadith mashhur, and these kind of, so they categorized the reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is sahih and valid. You can't say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something and it's za'if. How can something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say be za'if? No, it's not that what he said is da'if, it's the transmission, the way it's been transmitted, the way it's been passed on. There are elements which aren't as strong and as reliable. So those that in the transmission there's weakness, but what the Prophet ﷺ said is 100% correct and sahih. So amongst it, there is the top in the categorization is this hadith which everyone reports. Not just one person, everyone reports. And it's impossible to ever even assume that someone misunderstood it, or someone invented it, or someone fabricated it. So that is, everybody knows, everybody says, everybody hears, and everybody passes on. Like innama al-amalu bin-niyat, actions are according to intentions. Every scholar, when he starts teaching hadith, he starts with this hadith, innama al-amalu bin-niyat. So this is a hadith mutawatir. And then someone says, and there's one such hadith is that sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man kadhaba aliya mutaammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Whoever intentionally says, makes a false statement on my behalf and transmit it, whoever transmits to me a statement which I did not say, and whoever makes a false statement against me, then he should prepare his abode in the hellfire. He should get ready to take an abode in Jahannam. If this is for anyone who invents a lie against me. And this is a hadith that everybody reports, and this is something that everyone talks about. So they would exercise caution. They wouldn't readily say qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were people who were experts and masters, but they never taught hadith. They never sat in a halaqa. They never said qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fearing that they say something which happens to be incorrect. So they were masters, they were ulama, they were huffaz, they were learned scholars. But out of this taqwa and piety and concern, that what if I transmit something which is incorrect and then end up committing a sin of this nature, I must not say anything, I'm not worthy of teaching hadith. So they would intentionally stay away from it. There's one particular muhaddith about him. It said that, mashallah, he was very, very learned. And others would have their halaqas, the ulama in this masjid, in that masjid, and in one masjid, numerous halaqas. On Saturday, this alim's halaqa, on Sunday, this alim's halaqa, on Monday in the morning after Fajr. So different ulama would have their halaqas. And this particular alim, he sheikh, he thought, no, I'm not worthy, I'm not capable, I can't say qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he spent years like this, and one day he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that the Prophet ﷺ, it was the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, everybody is gathered in the plain of Hashr, and an announcement is made that the scholars of hadith come, they come and they should take their reward, and they should take their ajr, and they should receive their certificates for Jannah. So all the teachers of hadith, they came one after the other, and they came, and their name was checked on the list, and they were all given certificates to Jannah, and the reward, special merits. And they were given, mashallah, all the muhaddithin, scholars of hadith, they come, and they take their reward. And this alim, he's a learned scholar of hadith, so he sits there waiting for his turn. And in the dream, many people came, they all got their ajr and reward, and they left. And now the malaika, they started closing the registers, wrapping up things, and then as they're about to leave. And he goes and approaches them and he says, what about me? Is my name not there? The malaika in the dream, they said, okay, what's your name? He says, such and such. He said, okay, you may be a scholar of hadith, you may have learned hadith, but you never sat for one day on the majlis and said qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to your students. So you do not qualify to be in this list, hence there is nothing for you. He wakes up in the morning and he says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That taqwa on one side, but Allah Azza wa Jal wants this ilm to be passed on to the future next generations. I should be careful, but I should start teaching hadith. And from that day onwards, he established the halaqa of hadith and started teaching hadith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through these people. So they taught us. So what we have now, so what we do here when we sit together and we talk about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that carries great merit, that carries great virtue. And these majalis should take place in every masjid. Every masjid should have this majlis. And the ulama, they should organize such gatherings. And mashallah, the ulama too, and they should organize such majalis. Even though we are not worthy, and in our opinion, we are not masters, we are just students. We exercise caution and intentionally do not make a false statement, but then, having exercised caution, it's important that we engage in learning and teaching. And people who engage in this learning and teaching, they are the best of every generation. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of every generation are those who take this sunnah, the ilm, from the passing generation, they preserve it, they verify it, and then they transmit it and pass it on to the coming generation. So this is why it's important. And because of the jahl and ignorance, what it leads to, doom and destruction. A jahil person will never have his aqeedah intact. He will have doubts in his aqeedah. And when his aqeedah is not correct, his belief is not correct, his amal would be invalid. So it is important that in addition to whatever we do, we spare time to learn about the basics of our deen. And the basics of our deen are the Qur'an al-Kareem, and the basics of our deen are sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important that we understand that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very important. And for that, when we engage in this process of learning and teaching, then it's important that we have trust in the people that are teaching us. If you do not have trust in the people that are teaching you, then you will never get any yaqeen. You will not get any certainty. Because everything you suspect to be, I need to verify this. Is it valid or invalid? And this doubt kind of takes away the motivation and the desire to make a sacrifice. If you know something's genuine, you're going to make an effort and sacrifice and you'll pay a price for it. But if you're not sure, then there won't be that kind of passion and that kind of desire to make an effort. So having trust in the teachers is very important. Trust in the ulama is very important. And shaitan, what it does is that it constantly keeps on attacking ulama and keeps on attacking people who engage in this learning and teaching. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the side of these ulama. He's on the side of these ulama, and people who discredit ulama intentionally and make false accusations against ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the tawfiq from them. So someone said that I think I passed this clip to a number of brothers. There was this young boy who was doing hifaz, and I think this was in the city as well. If anybody wants to know the name, I've got the name of the city as well somewhere safe. So this boy was, mashallah, doing hifaz, and he had completed 29th juz. 29 juz of the Qur'an. Only one spara left. 29 spara memorized. And after having learned 29 spara, his father, one day, he out of whatever, in whatever state, rage, he happened to make inappropriate comments about ulama. And he said bad things about alims and ulama. And this is a man who is about to receive a great honor on the day of judgment. His son becomes a hafiz, he would receive a great honor on the day of judgment. And when he made that stupid statement about the ulama and the imams, the instant punishment on this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes sets examples. The instant punishment on this person was that the very child who had memorized 29 juz and wanted to finish, just read one juz and finish his Quran, started struggling. He just couldn't learn anymore. And then he tried, but he couldn't finish his Quran, so he left. And now this guy who had learned 29 spare, now he's a truck driver. He drives truck between Quetta and Karachi. So if anybody wants to meet him, there's a sheikh here whose name was there. If you want to meet him, I can probably put you in touch with the sheikh. Go and find this truck driver who's memorized 29 spare but couldn't finish the last one because his father made some such comments. And the other ulama said that if you want to lose tawfiq to do right, then become reckless about ulama. Say whatever you like. And then Allah Ta'ala will not give you tawfiq to do anything good. So it is important that we, not only we value such gatherings and halaqas, but it is also important that we have trust and we have respect for the people who are busy making this effort. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on their side. Allah Azza wa Jalla is on their side. They are doing a task of the prophets, and this is something, and then we make an effort, we make dua. Everybody has weaknesses and shortcomings, make dua for them, and take the ilm that they are there sharing with the community, take it from them, try and preserve it, benefit from it, and then pass it on to the others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Last week we were talking about, on this day, we talk about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an embodiment of noor. He is the light that Allah created. He shows the path. And everything about the Prophet ﷺ is blessed. Everything is blessed. Be it his words and be it his belongings. Even belongings of the Prophet ﷺ are blessed. And when the belongings, say his clothes were blessed, and his whatever came in contact with him was blessed. The place where he performed 2 rakat salah was blessed. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would make extra effort to pray where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he would travel and he would know exactly, and he'd memorized where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, so he would stop, even if there was no time, even if he wasn't at Jama'ah's Farz Salah time, he would stop and go and spend some time in the very spot where he remembered that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and he would spend some time. If it was prayer time, he would pray, and if it was makruh time, he would just sit there and do zikr and tilawat and some dua, because that it was a blessed touch that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the place had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when everything that in came contact with there was a sahabi radiallahu anhu who would never cut his hair, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of compassion, he placed his hand on his hair. So he never would cut his hair, because these are blessed hair that the Prophet they received. They had the touch of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were blessed with the touch. So this was something. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the things that he physical things that he touched became so blessed. What about his sahaba? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much mahabbat with his sahaba that you cannot imagine. His own daughter comes, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, and she says, I need help. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, I have nothing for you, because I have to take care of these people of Suffa, the ones that are in the masjid, the poor, poor muhajireen. And they were the eyes and the arms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eyes and the ears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were like the limbs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used them for everything. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would treat them like he would show more love with them than he had love for his own children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once his own family members, Hussein radiallahu anhu, the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu, was shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was told that your ummat is going to do this to your grandson. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of it. But never he stood up and delivered a khutbah that people that are going to do this, they'll go in the pits of Jahannam. He never said that. He made dua, he wept. He made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. But when his sahaba radiallahu anhum, 70 of them were martyred in Bir-e Ma'una, the Prophet for one whole month, one complete month, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Fajr Salah, or some say in Isha Salah, and some say in all five prayers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against them, invoked Allah's curse on the people, the culprits who had betrayed those 70 sahaba. His own 70 Ahlul Bayt get killed. And he's told that this is going to happen to them. And he never even gave baddua to them once. He wept and he cried. But 70 of his sahaba, they were martyred, and the Prophet ﷺ prayed for one month in all five. Some say all five salah, all five prayers. And others say only in one salah, the Prophet ﷺ prayed against and made an invoked curse and Allah's la'nat against such people. This was the amount of love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his sahaba radiallahu anhum, and this is why they became very special. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we invest in people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invested in people everything that he had, and those people were very special to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And someone once made a complaint against certain of his sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the other day, he said, people don't come and don't raise complaints to me against my sahaba, my companions. Don't tell me things against one another, because I want to come out and want to have a clear heart with every single one of you. I don't want to have any bad feelings about anyone. So your personal disputes, keep them to yourselves. Don't bring them to me. And someone else raised complaint against Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very upset. He said, you are raising complaint against her. And then the person, he humbled himself and said, Ya Rasulullah, Astaghfirullah, I made a mistake. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will not forgive you until he forgives. Abu Bakr forgives. The person goes and he does maafi from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And before he does that, he notices that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is coming to him, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu himself felt that I might have done wrong to him. And he says to him, in fact, I was coming to apologize. He says, no, no, no. It's my fault. I want to humbly apologize to you because the Prophet ﷺ is upset that I've made you upset. The Prophet ﷺ was a very loyal individual, person. In every sense, the Prophet ﷺ was very perfect. So we talk about Ahl Bayt radiallahu anhum, and we will continue to talk about Ahl Bayt radiallahu anhum in the next setting. But it is important that we understand that this mention of Ahl Bayt is important, and this majlis is important because it is embodiment of so many virtuous aspects of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and tawfiq. Now we'll read Durood Sharif, and today, rather than doing the 41, we'll do a short one from our Hazrat rahmatullah alayh. In one of his, mashallah, one of his works was Hadiyatul Haramain, where Hazrat rahmatullah alayh put together some words of a hadith of Durood, of Salatu Salam, which used to get recited in, where? They used to get recited in Al-Azhar al-Sharif, years back. As it says, about for 7 centuries, this tradition continued. So this is what we're going to read, inshaAllah. So this is what they used to read in Al-Azhar al-Sharif and also in Riyadhul Jannah. So it's slightly different. It's a shorter version. Masabihud Duja is called. 27. They used to get recited. This collection was put together in year 897 after Hijrah by Allama Nuruddin Shawni rahimahullah, and this used to get recited in Jami' al-Azhar on Thursday night in a gathering of ulama and sulaha, and they used to engage in this during the night. They would spend the entire night there. Allama Sha'rani rahimahullah says that Allama Qustalani rahimahullah was writing the Sharh of Sahih Bukhari, and he used to bring the manuscript and would put it in the majlis where these durood sharifs and these sirahs of Salatu Salam were recited in order to get the barakat of it. So inshallah we'll read that historical mashallah collection. Today we'll read this, and this is about 27. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وانزل المنزل المقرب منك يوم القيامة آمين اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات صلى الله على محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وسلم اللهم يا رب محمد وآل محمد صل على محمد وآل محمد واعط محمد الدرجة والوسيلة في الجنة اللهم يا رب محمد وآل محمد اجز محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ونبيك النبي الأمي اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ونبيك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وعلى أهل بيته اللهم صل على محمد سبحان الله. This is Jabir رضي الله عنه, and Jabir رضي الله عنه has transmitted this durood. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وعلى أهل بيته, specifically for أهل بيت. And Jabir رضي الله عنه, سبحان الله, he had some amazing for the love of for Ahl Bayt, subhanallah, he had some special, very special bonding with the Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين وصل على محمد في الآخرين وصل على محمد في النبيين وصل على محمد في المرسلين وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما لبيك اللهم ربي وسعديك صلوات الله بر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين والنبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وما سبح لك من شأن يا رب العالمين على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين ورسول رب العالمين الشاهد البشير الداعي إليك بإذنك السراج المنير وعليه السلام اللهم داحي المدحوات وبارئ المسموكات واجعل شرائف صلواتك ونوامي بركاتك ورأفتك ورأفة تحننك على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق والمعلن الحق بالحق والدامي لجيشات الأباطيل كما حمل في الصلاة بأمرك بطاعتك مستوفزا في مرضاتك وعين لوحيك حافظا لأهديك ماضيا على نفاذ أمرك حتى أوراق بسا لقابس آلاء الله تصل بأهلي أسبابه بهدية القلوب بعد خوضات الفتن والإثم وبهج موضحات الأعلام ونائرات الأحكام ومنيرات الإسلام فهو أمينك المأمون وخازن وعلمك المخزون وشهدك يوم الدين وبعيثك نعمة ورسولك بالحق رحمة اللهم افسح له في عدنك مجزه مضاعفات الخير من فضلك مهنآت له غير مكدرات من فوز ثوابك المحلول وجزيل عطائك المعلول اللهم أعلي على بناء الناس بناءه وأكرم مسواه لديك ونزله واتمم له نوره وجزه من ابتعاثك له مقبول الشهادة ومرضي المقالة ذا منطق عدل وخطة فصل وبرهان عظيم اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين وخاتم النبيين عبدك ورسولك إمام الخير وقائد الخير ورسول الرحمة اللهم ابعث المقام المحمود الذي يغفته بالأولون والآخرون اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. Now these two sheaves, the ones that I'm reading, these are the first two, the long two ones. اللهم داحي المدحوات, and before one لبيك اللهم ربي وسعديك. These two are words that are transmitted, reported from Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib كرم الله وجهه. And the last one, اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك, this is from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. This is the درود that he used to recite. And Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه used to recite this one, the one I'm about to read. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد حتى لا يبقى من الصلاة شيء, وارحم محمد وآل محمد حتى لا يبقى من الرحمة شيء, وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد حتى لا يبقى من البركة شيء, وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد حتى لا يبقى من السلام شيء. اللهم اجعل فضائل صلواتك ونوامي بركاتك وشرائف زكواتك ورأفتك ورحمتك وتحيتك على محمد سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين وخاتم النبيين ورسول رب العالمين قائد الخير وفاتح البر ونبي الرحمة وسيد الأمة. اللهم ابعث مقاما محمودا تزلف به قربه وتقر به عينه يغبطه الأولون والآخرون. اللهم أعطه الفضل والفضيلة والشرف والوسيلة والدرجة الترفية والمنزلة الشامخة المنيفة. اللهم أعط سيدنا محمدا سؤله وبلغه مأمله واجعله أول شافع وأول مشفع. اللهم عظم برهانه وثقل ميزانه وأبلج حجته وارفع في أعلى المقربين درجته. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واجعلنا من أهل شفاعته واحينا على سنة وتوفنا على ملته وأوردنا حوضه واسقنا بكأسه غير خزايا ولا نادمين ولا شاكين ولا مبدلين ولا فاتنين ولا مفتونين. آمين يا رب العالمين. ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والبعث المقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قومه عن أمته وصل عليه وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته وأصحابه وأنصاره وأشياعه ومحبيه وأمته وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين. الحسن البصري. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ونبيك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأزواجه وذريته وسلم عدد خلقك ورضا نفسك وزينة عرشك ومداد كلماتك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الذي ملأت قلبه من جلالك وعينه من جمالك فأصبح فرحا مسرورا مؤيدا منصورا, وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما والحمد لله على ذلك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضينا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات. اللهم صل على محمد بعدد من صلى عليه, وصل على محمد بعدد من لم يصلي عليه, وصل على محمد كما أمرت بالصلاة عليه, وصل على محمد كما تحب أن يصلى عليه, وصل على محمد كما تنبغي الصلاة عليه. إمام الشافعي رحمه الله. When he was passed away, and Imam Shafi passed away, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, somebody saw him in his dream and they said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated me with rahmat and I was forgiven." He said, and this was for anything special? He said, "It's because of this durood that I used to recite." And he read this one, the one I just read to you. I'll read it again. اللهم صل على محمد بعدد من صلى عليه, وصل على محمد بعدد من لم يصلي عليه, وصل على محمد كما أمرت بالصلاة عليه, وصل على محمد كما تحب أن يصلى عليه, وصل على محمد كما تنبغي الصلاة عليه. صلى الله على نبينا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وغفر عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد ملء الدنيا وملء الآخرة, وارحم محمد وآل محمد ملء الدنيا وملء الآخرة, واجز محمد وآل محمد ملء الدنيا وملء الآخرة, وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد ملء الدنيا وملء الآخرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد السابق للخلق نوره ورحمة للعالمين ظهوره عدد من مضى من خلقك ومن بقي ومن سعد منه من شقي صلاة تستغرق العد وتحيط بالحد صلاة لا غاية لها ولا منتهى ولا انقضاء صلاة دائمة بدوامك وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مثل ذلك. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد ما علمت وزينة ما علمت وملأ ما علمت. اللهم إني أسألك بك أن تصلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى سائر الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آلهم وصحبهم أجمعين وأن تغفر لي ما مضى وتحفظني فيما بقي. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عدد خلقك ورضا نفسك وزينة عرشك ومداد كلماتك كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم صل أفضل صلاة على أفضل مخلوقاتك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد معلوماتك ومداد كلماتك كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ونبيك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما واجري لطفك في أمورنا والمسلمين أجمعين يا رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد ما كان وعدد ما يكون وعدد ما هو كائن في علم الله. اللهم صل وسلم على روح سيدنا محمد في الأرواح وصلي وسلم على جسده في الأجساد وصلي وسلم على قبره في القبور وصلي وسلم على اسمه في الأسماء. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد صاحب العلامة والغمامة. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد الذي هو أبهى من الشمس والقمر وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد عدد حسنات أبي بكر وعمر وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد عدد نبات الأرض وأوراق الشجر. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد عبدك الذي جمعت به شتات النفوس ونبيك الذي جليت به ظلام القلوب وحبيبك الذي اخترته على كل حبيب. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد الذي جاء بالحق المبين ورسلته رحمة للعالمين. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد النبي المريح صاحب المقام الأعلى واللسان الفصيح. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما ينبغي لشرف نبوته ولعظيم قدره العظيم وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد حق قدره ومقداره العظيم وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد الرسول الكريم المطاع الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد الحبيب وعلى أبيه إبراهيم الخليل وعلى أخيه موسى الكريم وعلى روح الله عيسى الأمين وعلى داود وسليمان وزكريا ويحيى وعلى آلهم كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكرهم الغافلون. اللهم صلي وسلم بارك على عين العناية وزين القيامة وكنز الهداية وطراز الحلة وعروس المملكة ولسان الحجة وشفيع الأمة وإمام الحضرة ونبي الرحمة سيدنا محمد وعلى آدم ونوح وإبراهيم الخليل وعلى أخي موسى الكريم وعلى روح الله عيسى الأمين وعلى داود وسليمان وزكريا ويحيى وعلى آلهم كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرهم الغافلون. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. یہ سارے بزرگوں کے درود تھے, بڑے بڑے صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کے اور بڑے بڑے علماء کے. These were the درود that they used to recite. الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سید المرسلین وعلى آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین. لا الہ الا انت سبحانک انی کنت من الظالمین فاستجبنا له نجیناه من الغم وكذلك ننجی المؤمنین. Oh Allah, we tried to conduct a majlis, a sitting, just on the footsteps of our pious predecessors, our ulama, our mashayikh, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to talk about you, to talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talk about hadith, to talk about sunnah. Oh Allah, just like you covered our elders, our mashayikh, and the pious predecessors, the ulama, and the sahaba radiallahu anhum, and fuqaha, and the a'imma, oh Allah, we beg you to not let us down, and to kindly grant us that similar, that rahmat and that mercy and that compassion and that forgiveness and that kindness which you granted to those past generations. O Allah, we humble servants of yours. O Allah, we are too weak and we need a lot more strength from you and we need a lot more rahmat from you and we need a lot more guidance from you and we need a lot more tawfiq from you and we need a lot more protection from you. O Allah, you are the most generous Lord. And you are the most forgiving, and then you are the most compassionate. Oh Allah, you are aware of our weakness. So grant us that which we need in terms of tawfiq, in terms of protection, in terms of light, in terms of guidance, in terms of understanding, in terms of iman, in terms of conviction, in terms of yaqeen, in terms of steadfastness, in terms of ghina anin nas. Oh Allah, whatever we need through your infinite mercy and grace, but as the barakah of participating, conducting this majlis and sitting here, Allah Azza wa Jal, grant us all our needs and grant us all that we are in need of. Oh Allah, we do not return, make us go back home without having made any gains. Oh Allah, make us fortunate and make us amongst those who are gifted and who are granted. Oh Allah, cover us with your rahmat and cover us with your mercy. Cover us, protect us and our children as well, our generations to come. The barakat, just the kind of barakat that you bestowed upon your chosen servants, ibadak al-mursaleen, ibadak al-mustafeen. Oh Allah, we beg you to grant us similar barakat on their footsteps, just like them. Oh Allah, protect us as well. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Oh Allah, help our brothers and sisters that in dire need of your help and protection, our brothers in Gaza and Palestine, our brothers in India, our brothers in Kashmir, our brothers in China, our brothers in Burma, oh Allah, our brothers in Iraq, our brothers and sisters in Sham, and our brothers and sisters in Africa, and all other parts of the world, wherever they're in need, oh Allah, reach out to them and help them and protect them and support them and take care of them. Allahumma kun lahum mu'inan wa zahira, waj'al lahum min ladunka sultanan wa nasira. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra ma sa'alak min nabiyyika sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma ista'adhak min nabiyyika sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-'aliyyil 'azhim. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاك الله خيرا.